This is Dr. David D. Schein, and welcome to this special Saving America panel discussion on mass violence in America and what we can all do about it.
I'm going to throw one big idea out at you just to hear your thoughts on this one. And this is in the social media vein, because you're big in that world, David, so you understand this as well. And this idea of anonymity. We have really millions of accounts that are bots, so not even human beings. And then we have millions of accounts where we don't know who they are. There's no way to identify who they are, where they are, and many of them have multiple accounts. So part of my contention or points are that if we would remove the anonymity or reduce it as much as possible, we would be more likely to converse civilly than when they're hiding behind some persona that's completely created or is a digital persona anyway. And then they can launch all this vitriol out at anybody and anyone in the world. And that helps further isolate and break down society.
Heather, did you want to speak first on that?
I think you make a really good point, Scott. And, you know, it's interesting when people, and you think about when you're working in teams, right? If you have the opportunity where you allow people to share their opinions and in a non-threatening way, or, you know, you're going to be respectful. That's the whole thing, is there's just a lack of respect.
Yes.
And especially when you can hide behind that, that digital picture of yourself that's not even a real person. And you can be somebody who you might want to be, but that you're not confident or brave enough to do it with your real picture out there. And it comes back, I think, to God as well. I mean, people would learn to treat people the way they want to be treated, you know, with respect and be valued and appreciated. I think we would also get along a whole lot better. But with the social media and that anonymity, yeah, you are a lot braver of voicing your opinions when people don't know who you really are.
Right.
Yes, that's a good point. Well, first of all, of course, I'm on multiple social media platforms, but I am me, myself, and I, and absolutely not. But it's interesting because just this past 2 weeks, Elon Musk, who's looking at buying Twitter, has asked Twitter to indicate how high the percentage of bots is, or fake IDs. So that's not quite the same as people pretending to, you know, using a alter ego, but the concept's pretty close. And the Twitter admits that at least 5% of their participants are bots, meaning that they're created by computers and systems. And Musk has indicated he thinks it's closer to 20%. One of the things that's happening on LinkedIn that's very interesting is that a number of us, generally men, have been approached by what appear to be very attractive Asian women who claim to be in Los Angeles or New York, generally, who claim to be fairly wealthy, and who want to connect with you. And then they go on to attempt to get you to participate in different cryptocurrency platforms and trading. And it was real interesting because I played along with this for a while. I've also discussed it, by the way, with the FBI. So just you know, we're not chumps here, and we certainly never gave anybody any account numbers or any money. But it's interesting because there's starting to be more of this kind of weird stuff happening on the internet, and I think it's important that we act to identify them. And I've actually, in the last few days, put out some tips to my fellows readers on LinkedIn in terms of being careful. One of the reasons that what came up was about a week ago, somebody said the same photos are being used, that these it's different names, and yes, they may be in New York a lot, but it's the same set of photos of very attractive Asian women. And so we're also concerned that it may be some part of a CCP plot to get people identified or compromise certain information. But it does appear, based on my current survey, that it's largely crypto scams. And we really don't know who the people are behind it. And that is one of the problems, is with the exception of people like three of us here at the moment, is that it's quite clear that we are who we are, and we're promoting our books, and we're promoting our services as consultants and trainers and so forth. But there's an awful lot of people out there who are not as easily verified, I guess we would say.
Yes, not an easy thing. And I think part of that, and when we look at one of the things that struck me and what Heather had brought up about the number of prescriptions that are being used by perpetrators of violence. So there are a whole lot of areas we need to look at as a society. But at the same time, we want to say we want to be free to do our own thing. So to me, it comes back to that question that I posed. Do we really want a more civil society? And if we're serious about it, it starts with us and what we do, the decisions we make.
Right. And just to add to that statistic, Scott, so this is 484 drugs in FDA's database. 31 were found to account for 78.8% of all cases of violence against others. And 11 of those drugs were antidepressants.
Wow.
I know. It's scary.
Yes. Yes.
So, and we're at a time in life where my PCP, my general practitioner doctor, does a depression survey, which he started a few years ago, each time you went in. And he looked at my survey and he said, yeah, you're depressed. So what? All of us are. So, and I'm not on antidepressants, by the way. And, but it was pretty funny what he said. But, you know, this was a year or so ago, we were talking, you know, in the more of the COVID period. And not that we're not still in the COVID period, but I think if anything, that unfortunately that the last couple of years with COVID have encouraged more isolation and less socialization. And I'm hoping that we come back out of that. I saw a very odd news clip earlier today that Neil Diamond, the well-known rock star from past generations, apparently was at the Boston Red Sox game wearing a Boston Red Sox jacket, and the stadium appeared to be very, very full. So hopefully those people are being kind to each other and are rooting for the home team, but nice to the other guys and so forth. But hopefully we're entering a period where people are going to be able to get back together more. And I've got my fingers crossed regarding yet another round of COVID. But so far, so good.
Well, here's a thought. Now this is just kind of tongue in cheek, but you saw over the weekend they canceled all kinds of flights again and stranded travelers and everything in this holiday weekend. So we need to strike up an opportunity at those airports where all those people are ending up having to sleep to have actual times to interact with one another in a positive way. So it seems like travel industry is setting us up for challenges. We need to make lemon. How does it turn lemons into
lemonade out of lemons?
Yeah. Yes. So opportunities are bound.
There are always opportunities. We just have to open our eyes.
Yes.
But I think that's interesting. And certainly airports are, you know, some of the least friendly places. And on top of that, and certainly heading in the wrong direction, Delta Airlines announced last night that they're going to limit people in their lounges to 3 hours before their flights. And they're saying that there are too many people are kind of check out of their hotel, go to the Delta lounge, and then camp out for the rest of the day. and that they feel like they're abusing the systems. But as the newscaster pointed out, people pay for that privilege. I know the United Club membership is about $500 a year, and it's not for the great food, I can tell you that. We might do that. Thank you so much for joining us. And this has been a special edition of Saving America regarding how Americans can address the issue of mass violence. This is Dr. David D. Shine. We really appreciate you joining us. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on your favorite platform.